Today on Real Radio.
Here in chapter 7, God hits pause and begins to show John some very fantastic things. The understanding of this chapter is all important to the remainder of the book. You miss this chapter and you will never understand the remainder of the book. And you will always be misunderstanding eschatology or the prophetic study of God's Word.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his fascinating series through Revelation. Chapter 7 records more of these visions John experienced, yet it seems to be an interlude, a parenthesis in the midst of all these eschatological occurrences. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs to explain more in a study called Salvation in the Midst of Trouble.
God now talks to John. John tells us what he sees. When John in chapter 7 is done speaking to us, then guess what happens? It picks up again and it goes. Are you with me? It's kind of like a pause on your tape player. You just hit pause. Now we're going to look at the entire 12 verses that will comprise part 1 and 2, but we will focus this morning just on several of these verses. Revelation 7, beginning at verse 1. After these things. Circle that. That's key. Metatauta. After these things. The things of chapter 6. John says, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or in any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. This is what he said, verse 3. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Verse 5, of whom the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, that's unique, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Verse 9, after these things, meta tauta, again, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number of all nations. These are non-Jews, by the way. Verse 9 introduces us to non-Jewish people. All nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And the word there says, amen. The word in Hebrew, same in Greek, same in English, meaning let it be so or let it be true. Listen, from the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, keep this in mind. God spoke in times past. He said, thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of great fear, and not of peace. Ask me now and see whether a man has ever labored in pains to give birth as a woman does. So then why do I see every man holding his hands over his loins like a woman who suffers in labor? And all their faces shall turn pale from pain. Alas, for it is this great and terrible day. It has come, and there is none like it. For it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but Jacob shall be delivered out of it. That's Jeremiah chapter 30. This portion of scripture of Revelation 7 introduces us, verses 1 through 8, to a dynamic group of people. And it lists them, gives us no doubt as to who they are. There is an introduction of 144,000 people who God will call out from their place in this world. They will be ordained. They will be summoned. They will be called. And there will be 12,000 of them coming from 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. That's what the Bible says. It will happen. What's interesting about this is from now, Bible students, we now get prepared. Chapter 7 prepares us to enter into chapter 8, preparing us for the last 3.5 years of that 7-year tribulation period. And brother, is it tough? Is it something? You see, the first 3.5 years, as we've been studying in Revelation chapter 6, is the advent of the Antichrist. He will deceive the world with prosperity. He will deceive the world through a demonic peace. He will deceive the world through the implementation of a restoration, so to speak, of the environment. He'll be a tremendous politician. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, there's no doubt as to where he will arise. He will come out of what once was the ancient Roman Empire. He will come out of what has been affectionately viewed as the revised Roman Empire, an easy way of explaining it. That the nations of ancient Rome at the time of Christ and before will come together in the last days. And out of the conglomeration of nations, there will arise 10 predominant leaders, almost like we have today, you know, in the world, we have what's called the G7. Are you familiar with that, anybody? They are the 7 global economic powers of the world, of which the United States is, at this time anyway, number 1. And my memory fails me as to what those nations or who those nations are, but Germany is one of them. I think Spain is another one. Japan is one of them. England's another one of them. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's 7 of them, and I think Russia's made application, though it's completely broke. The world is trying to get the Russian economy going because Russia owes so much to everybody. There's the G7. Now, there's more than 7 nations in all the earth, isn't there? But there are the governing powerful 7 that manipulate the governments of the world through money. And that's the G7. They meet every year, by the way, for a summit, and they discuss how things are going to go. Very, very powerful group of people. Well, there is a time coming, and I don't think it's all that far away, where we are already seeing the revised Roman Empire established through what is called the USE. In Europe, they call it the USE, the United States of Europe, or the EU, the European Union. And they will have their own dollar, and now it's called the Euro. They will have their own economic base. They will have their own leaders. And the Bible says that out of the conglomeration of many nations, by the way, 10 predominant G7 types, G10 types, will arise and broker the powers of the world that be. That will happen under the powers and the controls of the Antichrist. And then all of these things we studied in Revelation chapter 6 will come upon the earth. All that happens in the first 3.5 year period. Now we come to the pause of Revelation 7. And it's all about God focusing in a powerful way on the nation of Israel. My friend, listen carefully this morning. This is a serious issue because most people who oppose it are so-called Christians. What I'm about to introduce to you is heresy. It is damnable heresy. It is revealed in Scripture as being anti-Semitic or demonic. And that is, there are those who have lived in generation to generation that believe this, that God is done with the Jewish nation. That whatever God promised to the nation of Israel was lifted when Christ was crucified and is placed upon not only the church, but some people have been so arrogant to believe that those promises have been lifted from Israel and placed upon the English-speaking peoples of the world. That is called British Israelism, and it is a demonic doctrine. God is not done with the nation Israel, and in fact, God is preparing the nation of Israel for not only its existence, but it has some horribly horrific times ahead in the tribulation period before its glorious days that God intended it to enjoy comes. Very important. If you don't understand that, you better study that in the Bible. I'm not even going to ask you to buy a book on it. Don't buy a book. Read the Bible. You'll be fine. If you buy a book, you'll get goofed up on it. Read the Bible. No, God is not done with his people. And he prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 30 that there's going to be a tremendous time, very, very terrible time. But God says, I will deliver Jacob out of his trouble, a time known as Jacob's trouble. I've asked you before, but I'm going to ask you again because repetition's good for us. What's another name, or what was the name given to Jacob in the Bible after God changed his life, changed his heart? Smart group of people you are. Israel. When you mention or when you read about Jacob, you're reading about Israel. That was his new name given. But here, God speaks through Jeremiah the prophet and says that this time will be a great and terrible time forthcoming. It will be the time of Jacob's trouble or Israel's trouble. But Israel shall be delivered out of it. The Bible goes on to say in Psalm 94, verse 13, you grant him relief from the days of trouble, till a pit is dug for the wicked that comes against him. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. That is not a promise given to you and I. Did you know that? That's a promise given to Israel. Now, will God forsake you? No. But God also will not forsake Israel. Very important thing to keep in mind. By the way, you need to remember that when you vote. I am dead serious. You may not like me for saying this. I love you, but I don't care. I don't vote Democrat or Republican or Independent. I'm going to tell you right now personally, first thing I do based upon my Bible open, I look and see what that politician's view is regarding the nation Israel. Why? Because I want America blessed. I'm selfish. You say, what? You want America blessed? Vote for somebody who will support Israel. You want to see America come apart at the seams? Vote for somebody who's not pro-Israel. Now, I'm not saying that we should agree with everything Israel does. They do some pretty stupid things. God didn't ask us to agree with them when they do good things and to get upset with them when they do bad things. God says, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you, Israel. Isn't that something? Now, if you're sitting here this morning saying, I don't like that. That's making me all upset. That's making me all... Calm down. Get your heart right with God and know that he says they are my chosen people. They may be sometimes a pain in the pocketbook. Or they might be, I have friends who are Israelis and I have friends who are Israelis and are Christians. And I've even found my good friends who are Israelis who are Christians. When you're talking to them and you get down to the table with coffee and Bible open, it's so fun. If you've got two Israelis, if you've got two Jews at your table and you're talking and you're debating things, you're going to have at least five opinions from them. It's so fun. God says he's not done with them. Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, Paul the Apostle says, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I am also an Israelite or a Jew of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, says Paul. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down your altars, and I alone am left? And they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 whom have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, says the Apostle Paul, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Did you know that? God's not done with Israel. For the last 2,000 years, the Lord has set aside, so to speak, or placed on hold the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. But he has not neglected them. What God is doing is drawing out of the world at this time a host called the church, a bride of Christ, says the Bible. made up of Gentile believers. But when the church is raptured up out of the earth and the seven-year tribulation period begins at some point after that, it will be God dealing with Israel again. By the way, did you know this? The Bible says that Jesus is engaged or espoused to the church, which is Gentile, but God the Father is already married to a Gentile bride. Her name is called Israel. Keep that in mind. Very important. But listen, God will turn the nation Israel during the tribulation period. They will cry out to the Lord, and they will find out that not only did they have a Jewish prophet that they have not listened to for the last 2,000 years by the name of Jesus, as his Greek name goes, but he is also their Messiah. And we're going to be reading about that in Revelation chapter 7. Before we do, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Luke 19, 41, Jesus, in his last plea to the nation of Israel before he was sacrificed, Jesus said, there the scripture says, Luke 19, 41, as he drew near unto Jerusalem, he saw the city and began to weep over it. My goodness, in a month, we're all going to take this walk, the very walk that this happened on. And he said, if you had only known, even you, especially now in this your day. Jesus held Israel responsible to know that very day, called Palm Sunday, April 6th, 32 AD. The things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in from every side. And they will level this city and your children within you to the ground. And they will leave, they will not leave within you one stone left upon another because you did not recognize the day of your visitation. Jesus looked to Israel, and while everybody was shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus begins to weep. And he says, all of these terrible things will come upon you because you failed to recognize me as your Messiah. Isn't that a tremendous prophetic word? And listen, has that not been true for the last 2,000 years? They have suffered because of their rejection of him. Romans 11, 25 says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, my brothers. He's speaking to Gentiles. That's Paul speaking to the Gentiles of Rome. He says, so that you may not be conceited in your salvation, but that Israel has experienced a hardening of the heart against the gospel in part until the full number of the Gentiles is completed. Isn't that interesting? Just think, every time, as we've mentioned before, every time somebody comes to Christ, we get one person closer to that number being filled. God has a number. We don't know what it is. God has a number of Gentiles. That's you and I. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. God has a number. He's counting, okay? I don't know. You can only imagine what that number is. You know, 100,000,262, and all I need is one more. And that one guy says, yes, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I don't know, but could the rapture happen right then? Wouldn't it be awesome? Man, what if you are that number three guy here right now? Well, number three, please stand up and come forward. Get saved. You're holding things up. We want out of here, you know? But Jack, it's going to be such a nice day today. Nothing compared to heaven. Nothing compared to heaven. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, they've been passing through the waters, my friend, for about 2,000 years now. I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you, literally this people, for all of you pacifists out there. Here's a good verse. God says, I will sacrifice the lives of others to save you, Israel. That means through war. Isn't that tremendous? That's how important Israel is to God. He says, and people I will give for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants, those yet future, perhaps those today. I will bring your descendants from the east. I will gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters all back from the ends of the earth. Isn't that fantastic? In fact, according to the Bible, there's going to be a great revival of Jews coming to know Christ as Savior during the tribulation period. God says in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people Israel, I will open up your graves and I will cause you to come up out of your graves and I will bring you back into your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up out from your graves, and I will put my Holy Spirit in you, and you shall live again, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, that I have spoken it, and I will perform it. Thus saith the Lord. That's awesome. And we as a church, I believe at that period of time, we'll have a bird's eye view from heaven of those events. We already see a great movement, by the way. There are millions of people moving to Israel. Did you know that? From all over the world. And record numbers never before seen in the history of man. So let's get to our first point this morning. You can calm down. We're only going to have an introduction to the first point this morning, and that is salvation in the midst of trouble. Will you jot that down? We're going to be spending 2 weeks on this one right here. Salvation in the midst of trouble, verses 1 through 3. Salvation and the things of this world. He says, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow, or that the wind should not blow upon the earth, or upon the sea, or upon any tree. And I mentioned earlier that the term or this statement, after these things, it's dealing with chapter 6. That's what that simply means. John says, I saw, and it's those things that will happen on earth before the second coming of Christ. That's in verses 1 through 8. It's clearly Jewish. So clear. You need to bring next week, I tell you, friend, bring all your Jehovah Witness friends. Bring them. Invite them out to breakfast. They'll come with you. Say, tell them, come to church, I'll take you out to breakfast. They'll come. Free breakfast, they'll come. They need to hear next week. Because you know what? As much as I love those precious people who are deceived, they are not of the 144,000. They think they are.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study of Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Salvation in the Midst of Trouble is the title, and we'll hear more on Monday's broadcast of Real Radio. Now, as we wrap up this week's series of broadcasts, we remind you of our offer for the month of August. For your contribution, which is tax deductible, by the way, for your contribution of any amount, we'll send to you Jack Hibbs' Prophecy Update. Jack Hibbs' Prophecy Update, a 4-CD set which reveals the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth about what's happening in the Middle East right now. Jack Hibbs' Prophecy Update is among the few and the proud that puts these current events under the biblical microscope. Not only that, but Pastor Jack has, shall we say, very reliable inside connections in Israel. So again, for a donation to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you the 4-CD series, Jack Hibbs' Prophecy Update. You can call, click, or write, whichever is easiest. Let's start with our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You can also call us at area code 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And of course, all of this information can be found at www.realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.